This is going to be a part three of the message that we've done the last 2 weeks. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we just pray that you heal and touch your people. We love you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, 2 weeks ago, we talked about how whatever situation, whatever you're going through in life, whatever the enemy is pushing deep upon your life, and the pain and the trouble that we go through, that God will always cause us to triumph. And that's a promise of victory in the situation. That God will lead us through that situation and you will be victorious. You might not see the victory. It might not even be close. But it's going to be there because God promises us. And that was a couple weeks ago. And then last week, how we talked about that God's thoughts are always on you. He's always thinking of us in Psalm 139. He thinks of us all the way through our process. Thoughts of more than the sands of the sea. You are on his mind constantly. No matter what you've done, he's constantly thinking of you. And that's amazing to think about that. And because his thoughts, because you are on his thoughts, he will do anything to go after you and to seek you and to draw you to him. And he's always drawing you. Because his thoughts are towards you and on you. So I want you to continue in thinking about these things as we do today's message. And but I want you to think of these three messages also because next week we're going to do communion. And I want you to think of this message all week. Even if you have to take down and write things down so you can memorize it. Because it's all about communion with God. And I was praying on that this week. And God was putting that on my heart. And then I got a call from Benincia yesterday. About the same thing. And this morning I walk in and George is talking about the same thing. So God speaks to his people. And we want to make sure that the Holy Spirit just flows in this place. And that everything that we're going through, just put it away. Because it's not important. It's the small, it could be important in our life, but it's such a small thing to God. So, let's start here. You know, a lot of times we live our lives and we go through all these things in life. And we hear about God. We know about God. We're saved, maybe hopefully. And we pray. And we read our Bibles. And we come to church. And we give our time. We give our offerings. We do all this thing. And God is still passive. Which means he's a distance. He's not real close. And that's passivity. And it's very dangerous to think that way. To think that God will do something for somebody else, but he won't do it for me. God's passive. God will heal that person, but he won't heal me. That's passive. God is working in their life. And we're seeing great faith in the lives of people, but he's passive towards me. And I put him aside. I put him away. I believe in him, but I'm not walking with him. I'm not being conformed to be a disciple because it's this passivity mindset. You know, if God is so real, why isn't he doing this in the world and that in the world and healing these people and doing this and doing that? Why aren't we seeing God being active if he's active? So God becomes passive in my thinking and in my mind and in my walk. He's over here. I do my life, I do my thing, and God's over here. It's passivity. He's not close. He's not right there. And we've got to know that he's right there. So I live my life, I do my own thing, I do my own job, I do my own work, I do live my own life. And Sunday I come to church and give God praise and glory. God is passive. He's passive. Oh, I see the stories in the Bible, and some I believe and some I don't believe, maybe. God is passive. He did all this for the children of Israel. He did all this by separating the sea. He did all these miracles, but he's not doing them today. God is passive. He's far. He's so far away. And he wants to show that he is so close to you. We serve an active God, not passive. You know, you don't think he's active. Look at the stars in heaven. And why don't they just drop? You know? Scientists say if one of those stars or any of the planets are off its axis by just a little bit, complete chaos in the skies. The whole world, everything blows up. One little degree off of its axis, the Earth, complete destruction. And we sometimes don't think about those things. And it takes faith, though, to believe. And without faith, it's impossible. With faith, all things are possible. Without faith, it's impossible. We serve an active God. 1 Kings 19, 11 and 12. The Bible says that God passed by, and the rocks and the mountains crushed and crumbled and disintegrated just as him passing by. And you know what else it says? God wasn't even in that. Think about that movement. And you know what? We have a lot of things within our lives that God that God just wants to break to pieces. He wants to break to pieces things in your life that are causing this passivity. Think about that. God wants to be so a part of what you do. And this starts with trust. But as we walk our day, we got to believe God is going to be involved with my life today. Do you believe that? And it's part of fellowship. It's part of our faith. It's part of our walk. It's part of discipleship. It's part of getting to know him more. It becomes intimate. And it's communion. Communion. We don't want to have communion next week and just make it a ritual. We want it to do all those things in remembrance of him. And to know that he cares about everything that you're going through. So personal. Bible says that Jesus looked over Jerusalem before he was going to the cross, and he wept over those people, knowing that they were going to reject him. Compassionate intimacy. He feels the Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Holy Spirit can be quenched. He can feel, he can identify with what you're going through. And we move away from him because we have our own plans. And plans are okay. but they are not to take the place of God. We do plans and then we go to God. Oh, will you bless this? Does he care about your plans? Yeah. He does. He does. But we put God aside when we come up with our ideas and our plans. And that makes it passive. It's not involved. Involved with the everyday ideas and concepts of our lives. He wants to be active in your life. Let's turn in your Bibles to John chapter 5. So remember, Jesus left the woman in Samaria, left that situation, headed over to Galilee, was rejected there by his own people, and he could not perform many things. And then he heads to Jerusalem. That's the process of where he's going. And he comes up with this area, this place that he came upon. And the Bible says this place had five porches surrounding a pool. And there was a man there, the Bible says, that had an infirmity for 38 years. 38 years in the same condition. 38 years dealing with the same problem day in and day out and day in and day out. And the Bible says, and when Jesus saw him in verse 6, he knew that he had been there a long time in that case. He was in that situation. Jesus could tell by looking at him, he was in that condition for a very long time. See, a lot of times we wear our condition. It comes out. We can see it on people. We can sometimes see that pain. We can see that hurt. We can see that misery. 38 years, and Jesus knew it, seen it in that case. And with all that, this man had a plan. 38 years, he had a plan for himself. He had a plan in verse 7. And the plan was that, he says that in verse 7, that I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. And while I am coming to it, another steps over me and goes in to the water. He had a plan. The plan is, I'm going to look to man, and man is going to help me into this area. Because he said, now, whether you think this is a superstition, or this was real, or whether it took place, or was there an angel, or was that not an angel? That's not what's going on here. This man believed when the water would be stirred, that if he could get somebody to just help him, put him in, he could be made whole. And think about this stirring of the water for a minute. See, the water was always there. But the healing only took place when the water stirred. When the water was moving. When the water was living. When the water's living, people can get healed. We just talked about last week about John 4, the woman at the well. And Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and the one that asks you, give me a drink, you would ask him for living water. Water that stirs. This is what this guy's looking for. He's really looking for the same thing. It was just another method. But the need within all men is to look for living water. Water that stirs us. Water that's alive. He says, but I have to wait for that. I can't be healed without living water. But his plan was to look to man. He looked to man. And for 38 years, he had the same plan. And if things don't work maybe that time, maybe you need a new plan. But we'll stick to the same thing even if it's not working. We'll continue to go to the same source even though it's not working. He knows about, hey, if this would stir up, some man could help me, put me in, and I could be healed. I look to man, and my relationship will be with man. I look to man, my relationship will be with man. I look to God, my relationship will be with God. I look to man, my relationship will be with man. My relationship will be fleshly. It's a flesh relationship. I look to God, my relationship will be with God. My relationship will be spiritual. It's where we're looking to. And we look to this world, our relationship will be worldly. It doesn't change. We are to look unto Jesus. We don't look to man for our healing. And this is not to degrade the medical field, because they are so important and God uses them so amazingly today. But we are talking about the movement of the water. We're talking about the movement here of the water. So this man had a plan. And it was to look to man. Jesus had a plan too for him. Jesus' plan is revealed in verse 6. He had a different plan. And his plan was this. Will you be made whole? That's God's plan. God's plan is, will you be made whole? Man's plan, I'm looking to man. Will you be made whole? Two amazing things here in the Greek here. To be made. To be made whole. To be made is ginomai in the Greek. To be made. It means to be made. It means to be generated. To be made. It's caused me to be generated. Or to come into a new being. Jesus says, are you willing to be made, to be generated? Are you wishing to come into a new being? And the word whole is hagios. And it does mean health. And it does mean to be made well, but it's even more than that. It means, are you willing to be made sound? And it's like that Jesus is more interested and concerned about the well-being of the mind, of being sound, than the well-being of the health of the body, even though this does include that. Are you willing to be made sound in doctrine? And doctrine is to be able to, are you willing to be able to think with God and to change your plan? Boy, do we have plans today. And some of these plans are way out there. Some of them we failed over and over, but we'll just make a new one. All of our plans are always dependent around me, though. They're my plan. They're an outcome that I'm looking for that will change differently than what I am in now. That's my plan. Make it different than what I am in now. And then we'll add all these things. Oh, I want to do this, and I want to conquer this, and I want to, you know. But it's always centered around me. If I can only get this, if I can only do this, if I can only be here, if I can only get this, everything will change. Well, no, it won't. It's always about a plan. And we move God away. We make him distant. And we make him passive. Jesus Christ is right there. Will you be made whole? Oh, Jesus, let me tell you about my plan first. Let me tell you about what I want to do first. Then we'll talk about your plan. Because my plan, yeah, but you've been doing that for 38 years. But it's a good plan. It's solid. It's just nobody else is coming up and stepping up and helping me. I just need a man to just pick me up and drag me over here and drop me in. But wait, for the water is moving. Amazing. Yeah. Plans. Plans are nothing without God. Plans are nothing. Your plan is nothing without God orchestrating it. The plan becomes fulfilled when you start to follow him. And boy, does he change plans along the way. Because he's active. If he's passive, he will say, here's the plan, just follow it. Just do it and everything will be great in your life. Oh, by the way, did I tell you about the wilderness you're going to go through for about 40 years? How about the backside of the mountain for 40 years? How about in jail for 17 years? How about these things? He doesn't tell us about that plan. Because who would sign up? All of our plans are about us, and all of our plans are about success. All of our plans are about blessings and honor and being built up and being recognized and being looked at and having great health and having a lot of money and having a lot of this and having a perfect wife and a perfect life and perfect children and perfect, you know, that's my plan. And all of a sudden life comes in. And Jesus says, are you ready to come to my plan? Are you ready to be made whole? Because if we are whole, in the way this definition in the Greek says, with our mind being solid on doctrine, what's the plan? What if the plan changes? What if the plan gets upset and turns? But we believe that God is passive. We think of God as being this old, old man sitting on a big throne who doesn't care about the day-to-day lives of individuals. I think it's Psalm 121. It says he never slumbers and he never sleeps. Well, he's taking a nap in my life. No, he's not. He's right there, like we've always said. So Jesus introduces this plan to him. And then after he gives, and by the way, this is not coffee, it's only water. No coffee in the church. And then as he tells him about the troubled water, which is man's plan, and he just completely goes over Jesus' plan. And thank God that God has a plan. You know? Thank God for his plan. What would we be without God's plan? God's plan was one thing, to send his son to die for us. That was his plan. I'm going to send my own son because there is no man. In Isaiah 59, God looked for a man and couldn't find anybody.